Hey, Jem. Welcome to Drinking with Jen. If it's your first time, and welcome back if you're coming back. I'm really excited to have just a one-on-one chat with you today about a really interesting topic. And I know I had done a poll on my Instagram about doing this as a bonus episode, but I just realized it needed its own episode. So before we jump in, what are you drinking? I am drinking a cold brew today. So whatever you're drinking, I hope that it is a tasty one as you enjoy and sip along today with our little one-on-one chat. Now, this is an interesting topic because it's very pop culture. It's very popular right now. And as we know, this is more of a personal growth show here on Drinking with Jen. And just as a reminder, I guess if it is your first time here, I'm Ginny Preem, your host. I'm also a speaker, both keynote and inspirational. I'm an author. I've got two books, the number one bestseller, You're My Favorite, and my guided journal called I'm My Favorite. And I also am a life coach at the mastery level. So little fun facts about me, your host, and I'm just excited to be here with you today. As always, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, leave a review for Drinking with Jen over on Apple Podcasts if that's not where you're listening. Ratings, just tap those stars over on Spotify if you would be so inclined. They are always appreciated. Now, we actually celebrated Drinking with Jen just in the past week or so, bumping up to being a top 2.5% globally ranked podcast. So in the whole world. So I just want to say thank you so much for listening, tuning in, sharing, subscribing, giving all the love to the show, because obviously can't do that without you. So very, very much appreciated. I'm so glad that you're here, that you're still here, and that we keep doing this thing together. So back to the topic at hand. Now, this is an interesting one because, like I said, it's very pop culture. And I had done a poll on my Instagram. 100% of you said that you wanted me to do an episode on this topic, which is fascinating. So I want to digest, I guess, or kind of pull apart and take a look at this craze, like this global craze around this woman who calls herself Risa Tisa. Now, Risa Tisa, if you aren't aware, she's everywhere. Since she posted, and I'll tell you all about like the whole background of it. I, of course, watched all of it because I wanted to be educated and be able to give a little bit of insight and perspective, just maybe my take or the take of, you know, my take based on some of the experts that we've had here and just what I've learned along with you since we've been doing this podcast. And when I bring on the expert guests, it's a great opportunity, you know, for me to bring information to you, but also I get to learn so much along the way and from these experts as well. So Risa Tisa, she lives in Atlanta, Georgia. She did a 52-part TikTok. Now, just to give a little perspective, each one of the TikToks was 10 minutes. So we're talking 500 minutes. So however many hours, I'm not going to do the math, you know, really quick, but close to, we'll call it 5 hours. I think she did say it was about 5 hours of content. Now, I did watch all of them, but I did watch them. So if you do decide to watch them, if you hold on the screen, you can watch it in 2x. She, for me, talks at a pace where I was easily able to understand everything. I feel like she has definitely a slower pace, you know, a slower cadence speech than I do. So I was able to go on and do it in 2x. So we'll say I spent about 250 minutes. Okay, so what's that divided by 6? About 4 hours. But that's still a pretty big investment. That's a long time. But what she did was a 52-part series called Who the F Did I Marry? Now, she calls her ex-husband, they are divorced now, a pathological liar. And, you know, I think that's an interesting term to use. I, for all intents and purposes, and if you haven't watched the Joe Navarro or listened to, excuse me, the Joe Navarro podcast that we did in season one, he's a former FBI agent and he breaks down for us dangerous personalities. And I believe in his book called Dangerous Personalities, he breaks down 4 or 5. And I love that term. So that's what I'm going to use today as we just talk about these people falling into dangerous personalities. And the reason why I like that is because it puts them kind of in a category to say these people could, would, and or will abuse you or put you at risk mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. These people are dangerous because they may impact your life in a negative way in any one of those categories. And I think that was certainly the case for Risa Tisa. Now, I watched the whole thing. There is no reason for me to believe that anything that she said wasn't true. It felt authentic. It seemed genuine. And now all these 52 parts are over on TikTok, but if you just Google Risa Tisa or look her up, you are going to see her everywhere. And I think I caught on to the craze pretty early. So I literally was watching her following double day over day. So when I started the Risa Tisa series, she had like 600 and some thousand followers. The next day it was 1.2. The next day it was like 1.7. It was fascinating just to watch how many people got pulled in and were really interested in hearing her story. Now, she goes back and she outlines the entire duration and everything that happened from her perspective throughout the courtship, the marriage, the divorce, everything. And she was very just raw and authentic about it. It wasn't fancy. She just a lot of times was recording the episodes in her car, you know, on her way to work. But she definitely was getting this huge following. And since then, she's been on like Good Morning America, on all of these massive shows. I think on the Tamron Hall show. Those are just a few that I've seen little glimpses of. Now, I think this is a really good lesson. So I'll break down some of the different things of what I saw and then the behaviors of how they translate into things that we've learned about here on the show through some of the, you know, experts, the psychotherapists, the psychologists, the counselors, everybody that's come on Drinking with Jen and kind of named some of these behaviors. So I think that's really helpful too, because sometimes we can see things and see behaviors and notice them, but not really fully understand what they mean or why it's important or why that strategy or that manipulative tactic might work. I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard things like, oh, Jenny, I just can't believe something like that happened to someone like you. You're so smart. And so I just want to put that as like a precursor and a preface. It doesn't matter how smart you are. These tactics can work on anybody. And it doesn't mean that you're stupid. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It doesn't mean that you're naive. None of those things come into play when you have these manipulative tactics that work so well, you know, happening in your life by one of these dangerous personalities. And so I just always think that's something really important to mention, because it is something that I hear all of the time. Or even in book reviews, I've seen people call me naive. And that's, I would not call myself a naive person. Empathetic, compassionate, understanding, yes, but not naive or stupid or dumb. So if you have been in one of these situations, I just can't emphasize that enough. And same thing for Risa Tisa. Like, I just don't want people out there calling her dumb or stupid or naive, or even just like the mean comments. Like, maybe this is a good time to talk about how we treat people on social media. You know, she said that some of the most hurtful things that people have made comments on are her weight or her looks. And at one point, her then husband, you know, had claimed that he was a vice president at his job. And people were making comments like, you just don't look like someone that would be married to a vice president, which I don't know what someone should look like that would be married to a vice president. That just seems like such a outrageous statement to make to begin with. But by the way, he was a forklift driver, but that's just what he told her. And he would do things like change in the morning. You know, he would wear a certain thing and then change. I mean, there's just so many manipulative things and tactics that he would do to feed his lies to make them seem more real. So let's go back to the beginning of her relationship. And basically, she talks about how on the first date, it felt like she met her soulmate. It felt like he was her dream man, that he was everything that she was looking for. And if you were to go back and unpack that, and if we had a psychologist on here today, we don't, but I think that they would kind of back up that those are part of the idealization phase where they're doing the love bombing and mirroring. So mirroring is a really important thing that I think we don't hear about often enough. So you might notice, like someone might make comments about somebody like, oh yeah, every time they're in a new relationship, they change. And that's because people with dangerous personalities, and I'll say like narcissists in particular, they don't have a real true identity. And so they will kind of flex to whoever that person is that's in their life, that they want to make them think that they are their dream man or dream woman or dream person, because they will start to mirror. They will like all of the same things that they like. They will, you know, say that they have all of the same dreams that they have. You know, start making plans for the future really, really early on. And if you go back and listen to the most recent episode with, I think I'm going to start calling her our resident psychologist here, Dr. Tanya Holthus, because she'll be back on again. She's just so great. But she does talk about like love bombing, and we played a little game of like, is this love bombing or not? And so she talks about that those are clear indicators of love bombing when they start talking about plans for the future on like the first and second date, like, oh, I want to go on this vacation with you. I had that experience in my own situation with, as we'll call him, Chad. So that mirroring, that love bombing, them making, turning themselves into something that they're not, liking music that they've never liked, wearing things that they've never worn to try to mold themselves into making them feel like they are that person's dream person. And I think that's just listening and watching Risa Tisa's stories. It seemed like that's a lot of what was going on in the beginning. Now, she does talk a lot about the timing of her relationship, which was really unique because it started in the beginning of the pandemic. And so they started dating, and then just weeks later, it was a lockdown. And they, you know, things were going so well. So it was like, well, where do we choose to lock down? And they made a choice to, you know, lock down at her place. So I think there may have been a factor of things kind of progressing from that standpoint. But that aside, I still think that it potentially could have happened where things move really, really fast. Because if someone is presenting a false sense of reality and a false sense of who they are, it's very common for these dangerous personalities and in a narcissist in particular, and I'm not calling him a narcissist, she calls him a pathological liar. So these liars, these dangerous personalities, they want to pull you in really, really quick because they want to do that before you start having doubts and before you start seeing little glimpses of who they might really be. So they will try to escalate and move the relationship along at a very rapid pace. That's really common. And so that's a really big red flag. So if you're dating or you're worried if somebody is these things, first of all, I would recommend grabbing Joan Navarro's book, Dangerous Personalities. There's some really great checklists in there that help put some perspective on the level of danger that you might be in based on the number of behaviors that you're seeing and at what level. So all of that said, that is a very common strategy for these dangerous personalities, the pathological liars, narcissists, sociopaths, psychopaths, where they will want to pull you in very quickly. And that's the important part of the love bombing, the mirroring, making you think that they are your dream person. Now, let me just make a little caveat right here, is that when you are thinking about these type of people, it's not just exclusive to romantic relationships, and I can't emphasize that enough. This can happen with friendships. This can happen with colleagues. This can happen in familial relationships. And so these indicators aren't just like love bombing doesn't just happen in romantic relationships. If you're in a new job or you have a new coworker and all of a sudden they are, you know, making all these plans with you, pulling you in, you know, these are universal strategies. But here we're talking about a romantic relationship because that's the Risa Tisa story. So I just like to always kind of add that in. Now, when she's talking about, you know, some of the red flags, because she does talk about some of the red flags that she started to see. And I think this is really interesting. I'm going to pull in a little dadism really quick. So if you're new here, my dad was my guy. And this isn't a dadism that I've really talked about a whole lot, but I thought it really played in well to what we're talking about here today. So a lot of times people that are empathetic and compassionate and caring, they like to see the good in people. Now, my dad used to say, "Ginny, you live life with rose-colored glasses." And when I was little, I always thought that was an insult. I had no idea what he was talking about. But what that means is you do try to see the good in people. So even if someone is bold-faced lying to you and you question it, you think about it, still, especially if it's a lie that is seems kind of outrageous or ridiculous, or you're like, why would someone lie about that? That doesn't make any sense. You still want to see the good, or you still may want to believe it, because you might be wondering, why would someone lie about that? That doesn't make any sense. So then you might want to believe that it's true. And I saw a lot of that in Risa Tisa's story, where she was talking about, well, this didn't make sense and this didn't make sense, but I still kind of went along with it. But then she would kind of keep it in the back of her mind for like saving that for information and data later. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the best way that I can explain it. Now, this false sense of presenting who they are, this is very, very common in these dangerous personalities. So it sounds like her guy was broke as a joke, just like my Chad was. We call him Chad in the book, so we call him Chad here. He was broke as a joke. Still is, more so probably even now than he was back then, because he just keeps on accumulating more and more debt. But presents that he is very well off, presents that he has all of this money, all of these things. Most of them are fake, like the fake watches, the fake Louis Vuitton, that kind of stuff. And that doesn't matter, except for when they are presenting as someone or something that they're not. So this is where the financial abuse can come into play, or the taking advantage of people from a financial perspective. So when I look back at my experience with Chad, he totally presented as financially well off. And as things progressed in the relationship, I obviously learned that that wasn't the case. And at the very end, I was really made aware of how dire his financial circumstances were or are. Now, Risa Tisa talked about this too. This is very common for these dangerous personalities to want to take advantage of people financially. And so in her situation, same thing. He presented as very financially well off. He was even paying some bills. And then they went car shopping. And it was, you know, I'm going to get you this BMW. But yet he, you know, so this is where, if you think about, if something isn't making sense, it's probably nonsense. You know, so he was driving like an older Ford Taurus, I think she had explained. And I might have to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure it was an older model Ford Taurus. But yet he was shopping for these, you know, really expensive, either almost six figure cars at BMW, and was, you know, presenting that he was going to get her one, and then making fake phone calls about how he was going to wire transfer the money, and then it never happened. And so that was, I think, you know, in hindsight, a big red flag for her. I had a similar experience, and this one is just kind of funny. I do write about this in my number one bestseller, You're My Favorite, where we went car shopping because I needed a new car. And the car dealer, you know, we're in the finance office together because we were in a, you know, we were living together in a serious relationship that, you know, I thought we were planning for a future. And the financial guy said my credit score out loud. And I don't know that I'd ever like discussed that with anybody before or anything like that. And then he said the payment amount. And Chad, my guy at the time, was like, oh, that's not that bad. Well, it was a lot of money to me. And now knowing like his financial situation, it was just, again, another little thing to present and project that they are something that they're not. And I think eventually throughout Risa Tisa's stories, you see how the tables start to turn. And then he started to really take advantage of her financially. Another aspect that, again, she didn't learn later on, and I don't know if this is something that I'll do in the future, this is like an interesting topic, is learning about their record. Okay, so if you were to look up your partner, your spouse, the person that you're dating, the person that you're potentially thinking about dating, and you were to look them up, like, I'm confident you're not going to find anything on my record. I don't even have a speeding ticket, knock on wood. Maybe I shouldn't have just said that out loud on my podcast, but I don't even have a speeding ticket. Now, later on, I never thought to do that. But oftentimes these dangerous personalities, because they think they have a sense of entitlement and think that they are above the law, that they are above rules, that rules don't apply to them. So if I were to go look at Chad's rap sheet, I guess, if you will, for lack of better terms. That just sounds a little bit more juicy. We'll call it a rap sheet. So he has multiple tickets, like reckless driving, careless driving, reckless driving on a watercraft, driving a motorcycle without a motorcycle license. Again, just thinking that the rules don't apply. When we were together, I actually, and this is something that I hadn't written about, but when we were together, I got him as a gift TSA PreCheck and Global Entry for travel because I travel a lot. He was traveling a lot with me. And I thought, well, won't that be nice when we travel internationally? We can go through together. Well, through that process, he got declined because he had so many outstanding violations in the state of Illinois that he couldn't even get Global Entry and TSA PreCheck. So that is such an interesting warning sign that I saw as a similarity when Risa Tisa went back and looked at her ex-husband's record. He ended up having a warrant out for his arrest. He had multiple violations and tickets, and he ended up, I think, going to jail. So that's like another big red flag warning sign. And like I said, I think initially, especially if you do want to see the good in people, that's not something you would think about doing, like a background check or looking at their record to see what's on file. Now, another thing that I thought was really interesting about the Risa Tisa story, and I think this is important. I think this is maybe one of the biggest and most important components is, and I think this is a good educational lesson, the difference between a smear campaign, which is something that narcissists do, and authentically sharing your story. This to me might be the biggest takeaway when we look at the Risa Tisa story and thinking about if it's authentic, if it's real, which again, I do think that it is, because we are now in 2024. Her situation happened in 2020 into 2021. So she took about 3 years to process, to heal, before she shared her story publicly. She also doesn't use his real name. And I think those are key indicators that show that she genuinely took the time to process, to heal. This wasn't a smear campaign, that she didn't use his real name, so she wasn't going after him to ruin his reputation. I mean, that's kind of a joke, his reputation. But there would be nothing to defame him of. But in contrast, a smear campaign, and I've actually seen this, so someone who I know, she had a situation where she ended up posting all over social media pictures of her with this guy, posted his name, and it was very fresh. It was like the day after, a couple days after things happened. It was very intentionally, and now that I know this person and their tactics and their personality a little bit better, I see it very clearly that that was a smear campaign. But because I'm me, I reached out to that person immediately, was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Thinking that they were the victim. But they were just painting themselves as the victim while putting together a smear campaign for this person. That is a narcissistic tactic where they use the person's name. They maybe do it right away. They don't take any time to process. Risa Tisa's storyline was quite similar to my own. So my situation ended in November of 2018. I took about 3.5 years before I put my story out into the world, which was in March of 2022. So we're coming up on 2 years of the anniversary of You're My Favorite being published. And that's because a lot of times when you are a victim, or if we don't want to use that word, I like the word target. If you are a target of narcissist abuse, of being with a sociopath, a psychopath, a pathological liar, there can be a lot of feelings of shame, guilt, worried about the stigma that might come along with it, fear of the reaction of other people or of the person that you're sharing your story about. And it takes a lot of time to process through some of those emotions, the anger, the hurt, the sadness, the loss, the grief. There are so many things, like you end up grieving the loss of a person, but also the loss of a person that you didn't even know. because they presented themselves as something completely different, which means your life was something completely different than what you thought it was. And so having to move through all of those different dynamics takes some time. So that's another reason why I think that Risa Tisa is being very authentic and genuine and honest about her experience and being truthful about the reason why she shared it, not for herself. And maybe some of it was cathartic for her, and not to take this guy down, because again, she doesn't even use his real name, but to help other people. And I think that she even says, if I could just help one person, which in part makes me a little bit sad to think that, you know, and obviously I think that she has an opportunity to help millions of people just based on the media coverage and everything that she's gotten from her story. But knowing that she was doing it to help other people and not to smear this guy is a clear indicator that she really did endure a pretty traumatic experience. And she talks about that. She talks about how traumatic this was. And I think sometimes these stories and situations get minimized. I have a tendency to minimize my own. And other people, again, I read the book reviews. I know sometimes people try to minimize my own story. And I think what is missing, and I didn't know about this context, because people think of trauma generally, or having PTSD is generally one big incident that happens in your life. It might be like a kidnapping, like our friend Jessica Buchanan, who was kidnapped by Somali pirates. It might be, you know, seeing someone get shot or a major physical injury. That's why we hear it so often associated with like war veterans. That's kind of where PTSD was started. But what people don't realize is the constant lies, the constant manipulation, the gaslighting, the love bombing, the discarding, and the hoovering, all of these tactics and techniques that these dangerous personalities take part in, as the receiving person, on the receiving end of that, as the target, as the victim, as the person that is maybe a survivor of these abusive tactics, what that causes is called CPTSD. It's this chronic, consistent behavior that you are receiving in your life that really adds up over time. And so that may cause you to have some, you know, behaviors that are called coping mechanisms, or you might have some triggers that really, like if someone says a certain word or a certain phrase, it might be really jarring for you. I like the word jarring better than triggering personally, but because I think triggering has been a little bit overused. But when we think about, you know, some of these behaviors over time, that definitely, you know, takes a toll. Certainly, I heard some gaslighting there in Risa Tisa's story, you know, the shifting from reality, making her question her own reality and her own experiences. I endured that over and over, where they shift the blame. And so that's kind of that Darvo technique. If you want to go listen to a recent, you know, podcast about Darvo, again, that was with Dr. Tanya Holthus, and that's the love bombing and Darvo one. So what Darvo is where the dangerous personality uses a technique called Darvo, and it's kind of a form of gaslighting. And again, gaslighting generalized is when the perpetrator makes you start to question how you experienced reality. And this is really, really common for narcissists and these dangerous personalities. And so Darvo is a specific type where it's called it's deny is the D. So it's deny, attack, and then reverse, victim, and offender. So that's the D-A-R-V-O. Deny, attack, reverse, victim, and offender. And this happened to me. The last thing that a dangerous personality or a pathological liar or narcissist wants is for you to call them out on their bad behavior. And when I did that with Chad, particularly at the end, we were in an argument, and sometimes the Darvo makes absolutely no sense. They'll shift it into a completely different topic to remove the focus of the topic at hand that you are trying to talk to them about, and then make you the bad guy. So there was one time in particular where I, in hindsight, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was textbook Darvo, where Chad and I were having an argument. I had felt in my bones and in my soul that he was cheating on me, and he denied it. And then it was, you know, he denied it. And then he turned it on to me and said, if I had any idea there were trust issues in this relationship, I would have never uprooted my children. Now, keep in mind, Chad had uprooted his children, mind you. I think he lived in 5 different places in 4 or 5 years. Like, it was a lot. So the most stability that they actually had during, you know, their time with him was when he was with me. But that was an opportunity for him to, remove the focus off the topic at hand and make it about something completely different, where I was the bad guy for uprooting his children, even though it was his idea to move into my house. So you saw a little bit of that, you know, Risa Tisa shares about some of those gaslighting techniques, and they work really well because in the moment, it just makes you feel so confused. And confusion is the state that a narcissist or a pathological liar or a dangerous personality wants you in. So you should never feel confused leaving an argument with somebody. If you have a disagreement with somebody, the goal should be to resolve it so that you can both move forward, not for you to be leaving that conversation more confused or to have 6 things from the past be brought back in or, you know, have the tables turned and have the conversation shifted to something or a topic that's completely off topic of what you were trying to discuss in the first place. So if you are constantly leaving conversations or arguments with a person feeling confused, that's not normal. You shouldn't be leaving these conversations feeling confused. That's actually a state that these dangerous personalities want you to be in. So that's something to also pay attention to. Also, I think Risa Tisa may have talked a little bit about how she started behaving a little bit outside of her normal character. I also definitely experienced that. That's something to, you know, be on the watch out for. And, you know, then she does even talk about the end of the relationship and how messy and confusing that was for her. And I think when we talk about this is one, I'll kind of wrap up with one final concept that I think is a really important one. That's a differentiator between what a narcissistic or a dangerous personality tactic is versus a self-preservation move that a target or a victim might choose to do. So at the end of her relationship, she ended up choosing to completely go no contact with her ex-husband. Now, sometimes there can be confusion between what is the difference between a narcissist discarding somebody versus a target or a victim going no contact. And the short answer is it's really the motivation or the intent behind the move or behind the decision. So a narcissist or a dangerous personality will discard a victim or a target when they no longer serve a purpose in their life. Because remember, everything is about fulfilling their needs. And so maybe it's that they no longer have a purpose for them. Maybe they're no longer easy to manipulate. That's a really common time when a narcissist or a dangerous personality will discard somebody, when they become less easy to manipulate and control. Because that's one of the main things that gives a dangerous personality or a narcissist that fills that need is having that control and being able to manipulate somebody. So that might be a reason why they discard them. Maybe they've found a target that is filling a bigger purpose, that is filling a need for them in a way that their existing target is no longer. So they may just choose to discard them out of their life. And now the difference is, so, and there's a lot of different reasons, right? But those are just some of the key highlights. I think one other one that's really important is maybe the target saw the narcissist without their mask. And so they saw them for who they really are. And that's a really dangerous spot for a narcissist to have somebody in their life that saw them for who they really are. So they will just discard them because there's no use for someone in their life that sees them for who they really are. Now, on the flip side, you know, Risa Tisa, again, I don't know for sure. I can't speak for her motivations, but usually the motivation behind someone going no contact with a dangerous personality, a narcissist, a sociopath, a psychopath, is for self-preservation. And usually this person has done, like, especially if it's a family member or a colleague or a friend, usually the target or the abuse victim has done everything that they can to try to salvage the relationship. And eventually the abuse or the tactics or the stress, the turmoil that this person is causing in their life, the dangers that they're putting them at risk, whether it's physically, emotionally, financially, you know, whatever the reason is mentally for their mental well-being, They have exhausted every option, and their last resort is to go no contact because they know that they can get pulled back in. Or, you know, maybe they've tried to go no contact before. They've tried to put different boundaries in place. And that's another key thing is you'll see a lot of boundary busting where narcissists and dangerous personalities do not respect boundaries. And once your boundaries have been broken enough times, maybe the only option is, going no contact. So it's really the motivation behind that decision. That's the big differentiator between a narcissist or a dangerous personality discarding somebody versus a, you know, victim or a target choosing to go no contact and no longer having that person in their life, because it just brings them more peace than fighting to have them in their life in some capacity because it's just not working. Now, another interesting thing, these are just a couple of other final thoughts that popped in my head as I was thinking back to the Risa Tisa thing. She did catch her ex-husband cheating, you know, things on his phone. And then there was a security system thing. And I had one of those security system things too. And they just both like denied it. There was a day for me where I was traveling and I could tell that Chad wasn't home because the security system didn't give any indicator of movement at all in the house. And there's one sensor in my house that you have to walk by in order to like get from any point A to point B. And his claim was, well, it's not my fault. I can't help it if the security system is faulting. But it worked the day before and it worked the day after, but just not that day. And I kind of had to giggle, not because it was funny, but because the similarities of the things that they will lie about that they think they're being really clever, but it's actually just so stupid. Like it makes like you have documentation, you have proof, but they still will lie to your face about it. Now, to create their own sense of reality. And it sounds like, you know, Risa Tisa dealt with a lot of lies. And that's, I think she felt like everything was a lie. And I think that's why she called him, instead of naming him anything else, just a pathological liar. And, you know, I'm not putting any light around somebody that went through this experience. And I'm grateful that Risa Tisa shared her story and that it's gotten such great coverage, because I think these things are, again, victims might carry around a lot of guilt or shame or stigma, or these, you know, anger, hurt, guilt, the grieving process as well. Grief is a big thing that comes along with these type of situations. So I'm really grateful that she shared this, because I think it's giving some more exposure to these dangerous personalities. And that's, of course, what we're doing here on Drinking with Jen. And I hope that you enjoyed this chat. Yes, I know it was a little bit more of like a pop culture type of conversation, but I'd love to hear if you have any thoughts, if you watched the Risa Tisa series, if you have any thoughts on it, if you've had an experience like this, I hope that you haven't, but hopefully this just brings some light and some awareness so that people can start seeing the signs more clearly for these dangerous personalities. You know, we talked about love bombing, Darvo, we talked about that idealization phase and the mirroring. We talked about so many different components, the discarding versus going no contact, the smear campaign that narcissists will do versus, you know, choosing to share your story in an authentic and vulnerable way when the time is right, after you've done a significant amount of healing from dealing with these types of people. So, Jem, I hope there was something in here that was helpful. And if you think there's somebody else that might be interested or could use hearing this story, please share it with them. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcast or a rating on Spotify. And until next time, shine bright and let's get growing. Thank you.